and what the Lord has for every one of us. How many of y'all know that God is faithful? And everything that He does is for a reason. And so for today, I had been praying about some things and been seeing what direction the Lord would have us to go. And great job on worship this morning. And those following us on Elder Ron, bring me my portfolio. I'm so sorry, I forgot on the desk. Got so excited doing multiple tasks this morning, and God is, you can take that to the back. I just need that. Thank you. Amen. So God does have a word in the house this morning, and He's going to give us what He wants us to share, and it's very interesting. I was without saying too much or saying too less, I just want you to be encouraged that there is some change coming to the face of the ministry over the next several months, couple of months. There's going to be a new look and some other things without letting too much information out, but there's going to be a, some would say, transition of the ministry that God is doing and working towards the new year, and God's going to do some great things, and God's going to just do some things. Amen. I want us to focus a little bit this morning, and those online, thank you for joining us online at TLWCLife.org and on YouTube, the Life Worship Center, and on our Roku channel, TLWC, and so we appreciate all that. But I want us to begin, as we get towards the end of the year, to begin to focus that change doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. Someone say change can be a good thing. And so I was looking at some things, and trust me, I have had a week. A week, that's all I can tell you. It's been very busy at work, and then my plumbing backed up, and then I haven't had plumbing, and still got to come back out today, so, but, you know, it's overwhelming at times. But then I had some time to reflect on what God wanted us to speak this morning, and I was thinking about that every one of us this morning are not perfect. Come on, somebody. That every one of us have a flaw. Each person in this sanctuary this morning, or those online, each one of us have something that we can work on. Some would say work on. And so oftentimes we don't realize that all of us is a work in progress. And so, Father, we thank You for this word this morning. We thank You for those in person this morning. We thank You for those online. And God, we often forget that You're working on us, You're changing us, You're molding us, You're creating us the direction You'd have for us, and we just have to stay the course. We know, God, that when we're down to nothing, my God, You're up to something. And so when we look at where we currently are, and oftentimes doesn't look good, I'm reminded that You told Gideon that he had to get down to 300 and You would be there with him. And so God, as we transition towards the end of the year and towards what You have for us in the beginning of the new year, we embrace what You have for every member, for everything that we do. And let us just stay focused on the Word, because it's the Word that's going to get us through. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. So in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you, someone say in me, watch what it says, He who has begun a good work in you, someone say He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to give you a quick teaching this morning. When he says until the day of Jesus Christ, what is he referring to? Thank you. Return. Good job, Anna. But look what he says. You have to have confidence in the thing that you're believing God for. And God gave me a revelation of this ministry 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 4 days ago. I don't know. How long is it ago since I told you, Benita? A couple days ago? Okay. And so what the enemy thought was over, God's rebirthing. And so we have to be confident that if he gives you something, you have to work the plan to get there where he wants you to go. Come on, somebody. So being confident, someone say, he's begun a good work, and it's not complete yet. Y'all get that down the road the next couple of months as I preach. Amen. If he's begun something, the only person that can stop it is him. Come on, somebody. We can't let the enemy say, it's over. We can say a new direction. We can say a turn. But he doesn't say that it's over. He says, he that begun a good work in you will, someone say will, complete it. And as far as I can see, we're not done yet. He said, being confident of this very thing, let's go back to the title so you can see it. I'm a work in progress. Being confident of this very thing that he who has begun a good... Let me tell you something. The enemy wants to send you all kinds of diversions to keep you from the word. He wants to send you all kinds of distractions to make it look like what you're doing is not changing anything. But the devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. If he begun the work in you, it will be complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I know we're missing some people because the Cowboys play at noon. I'm hurting because my Broncos played at 8:30 this morning. They're playing in England this morning. I would have loved to sit at the house and turn the TV on, and I don't get to watch many Bronco games, so I was like, Lord, why do they have to play on an early Sunday morning? I got to be at church. Denver ain't playing very good. They'll probably lose anyways. But that's not my God. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Last time I checked, when I checked my checking account every other Friday, it doesn't say the Denver Broncos deposited some money in your checking account. Amen. It says doing the work of the Father deposited some money in your account. Come on, somebody. They ain't blessing me. Got the T-shirt, wore it, it fits. Amen. They already got plenty of my money. I got like 6 Bronco jerseys and hats and T-shirts. And trust me, I've invested in the Denver Broncos. Amen. But he said, he has begun a good work in you, will complete it. Hear what he says, church. Until the day that Jesus Christ returns. In other words, if he hasn't returned yet, we still got work to do. Come on, somebody. Someone say, if he hasn't returned yet, we still have work to do. Someone say, what it looks like is not what it will become. Come on, somebody. So I thought about this. Someone say, life is a work in progress. Every day things are going to change in your life. Don't get comfortable in one place because God will root you up and move you to someplace else. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about leaving church. When you're rooted in the church, stay in church. But I'm saying God leads you to certain things in certain places, and certain things happen in your life, not because he's mad, not because he's upset, or not because you've done something wrong. It's just that God is always changing your directions at times to get to your ultimate destination. Come on, somebody. Come on. Things change in your life, not because you've done something wrong, is because God had already laid the path. You just don't know the path. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Come on. So the path is already foretold. He said, I know my thoughts for you. They're good and not evil. He already knows you're going to get there, but you don't know how you're going to get there. Come on, somebody. If I could look back on my life, come on, somebody, and see some things that happened in my life, I would have said I didn't want to go through that, but I had to go through it in order to get where I am. am right now. I feel like preaching a word this morning. Come on, somebody. I had to go through some stuff to get where I'm about to be in God in the future. Someone said life is a work in progress. If you don't go through nothing, you won't learn nothing. So he says, God says life is a work, watch this church, in progress. Someone say, God has laid the foundation. You have to build on it. Jesus told Peter, upon rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Let me blow your mind away. You can never build a house until they can make sure that the foundation is strong. Tap your neighbor three times and say, four times, say foundation, 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 foundation. Say it right now. Foundation, 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 foundation. In this church, we're about to tear it down and start a new foundation. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Come on, somebody. And that foundation is going to be built on something that is founded in God. Come on, somebody. Someone say the vision's not over. It's just beginning. The foundation is going to be relayed. And when that foundation is laid, everything that goes on top of that foundation will be from God. Come on, somebody. And he says that Peter, he told Peter, he said, upon this rock, watch this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, someone say the gates of hell, will not prevail. The word I want you to write down this morning, I feel like an international preacher this morning, I feel like I'm preaching to 100,000 people. I want you to write the word sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification in the text, in the Hebrew text, means set apart. Sanctification means that you're letting some stuff go to get right with God. Come on, somebody. Sanctification means that you're going to press into God and do some stuff in your life. You have to let some things go in order to get closer to God. You cannot have the world and God at the same time. Come on, somebody. You've got to learn to sanctify. Am I preaching okay this morning? I feel like the Holy Ghost is all up in this place this morning. Come on. You have to learn to sanctify yourself. What does sanctification look like? It's not how you dress. It's how you walk, how you talk, how you are. Come on, somebody. People say, how can that preacher be sanctified? He's not even wearing a tie. The tie doesn't make the man. It's what comes out of the. Jesus said this. He goes, it's not what goes in that defiles a man. It's what comes out. Come on, somebody. So sanctification in the text means, here's what he tells Peter. He goes, upon this rock, I will build my church. He said, but I want you to sanctify yourself. In other words, I need you to separate yourself from the things that are bringing you down. I need you to get away from the thing that's causing you to stumble. Am I preaching okay this morning? I need you to get away from that thing that keeps bringing you down and destroying with things in your. I need you to set yourself apart from the things that are causing you to stumble in me. Someone say, work in progress. Sanctification means set apart. In other words, if people see you're different, you have to be different. When you go to have surgery, church, and they're preparing you to have surgery, they have something in the operating room. I know this because I looked it up for this sermon. Before you even enter into the operating room, they have something off to the side called the clean room. And in that clean room is all the utensils that they're about to use to cut you open. They just can't get a scalpel and open it up. It has to go through the cleaning process. My God. Someone say sterile and sanctified. set apart. Because if they put something in you that's contaminated, my God, with something else, then that thing that was on that utensil will now get in you, and now it'll make you dirty. Come on, somebody. So before they even cut on you, they have a scalpel that's gone through a sanctification process. Someone say, it's been cleaned. My God. That's a good word. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Come on, somebody. So when they have all these utensils, Don, and they're in the room, and the doctor says, bring me the scalpel, without a fail, he has confidence, watch this, that he's using something clean. We want to use the same old dirty utensil to bring into a clean life. My God, we want to use what we've been using all along and try to think that God's going to clean some stuff up when we're using something dirty. Someone say sanctification. The thing about sanctification is you have to go, the utensils they're using has to go through a cleaning process. Then it has to dry in a sterile environment. Then it has to be packaged. And on the outside of the package, Mom, Anita, it says clean and sterile. Someone say clean and sterile. Someone say sanctification. See, when you're going through all these trials and tribulations in your life, it's not that God is mad at you. It's not that God is upset. He's sanctifying you for the next part of your life that you have to do. He's cleaning some stuff up, because when you get to the place that he wants to use you, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt you won't contaminate what, my God, you won't contaminate what he has for you in the future. Someone say, Lord, clean me up. He tells Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Someone say corrected, convicted, and comforted. Corrected, convicted, and comforted. Corrected means you have to allow God to correct you. If, let me tell you something. If you mess up, own up to it. If you made a mistake, I told you, I yelled at Ron last month. We had an attitude before we went to Center of Hope. Sure did. I don't have to go. Fine, get out. Sure did. A few minutes later, Holy Spirit convicted me. All right, brother, I'm sorry. Come on, let's go do the work of the Lord. And it's crazy because the glory of the Lord fell that month. Satan, let me tell you something. Satan knows what you're about to, he don't know exactly what you're about to do, but he can sense it's something, and if he can stop you from your destiny, my God, if he can stop you from your destiny, then he's already won the race. You have got to learn that it doesn't matter if I'm broke, busted, and disgusted, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to learn to praise him in every circumstance. I'm not going to allow my personal situation to keep me to stop what God has me to do. Someone say corrected. When you're corrected, watch this, church. Am I doing okay this morning? My God. When you're corrected, it simply means that you're humble enough to take correction from God. Corrected means that it's okay for God to do some stuff in your life, not because he's mad at you, because he wants you to put that thing down. Do we fall? Someone say, do we fall? Absolutely. Was I in the greatest of mood the last 3 days, not being able to take a shower, not be able to use the bathroom? No. I had raw feces coming up in both my showers. Send you the pictures, right? Yeah. TMI, man. Finally got it fixed. Now I got it. Now one last tube, one last pipe is finally not fixed yet, my shower or my washer. So I have to wait for them to clean out that pipe, but it's okay. And here's what's crazy. God taught me something this past few days. The plumber said that there's two clean out. There's one in front of my house and one in back of my house. He said both clean outs are full, which means that's the one line that goes down the house. He said, so let me explain this to you, sir. He said the main pipe is clogged. Every other pipe that's coming off of that main pipe, the sewer line, the water line, the bathroom line, all that, he goes, they're all plumb full backed up because the main pipe is clogged, which leads out to the sewer of the city. He said, let me show it to you this way. Imagine a vertebrae in the back, your vertebrae. On that vertebrae, you have your rib cage, your ribs, your tendons, your arteries, all that. He goes, imagine instead of it flowing out of you in the bathroom when you go to the bathroom, imagine all of that stops. So now what was clean actually got into the dirty part, and the dirty part got into the clean part because it flows from the same line. My God. So everything that's coming in has to go out. But when it's not coming out, it's going in. Y'all get that later on. Come on, somebody. So now, even though I had a clean water line, it's now, which is my washer line, now I have toilet paper and stuff coming back up of the washer line. Because when it was backed up, it's probably pushed some stuff back. And now it has to be snaked out. And I thought to myself, that's an interesting looking at something. As humans, we get backed up. Someone says, humans, we get backed up. And the only way to get corrected by God is to allow the backup to get plunged out. What is plunging you out? Maybe you lost a friend. Maybe you lost some income. Maybe something happened in your personal life. It doesn't necessarily mean God is mad. God has identified that something is wrong. God has identified that you're not praising the way you should. God has identified that you're not worshiping the way you should. God looked down and says, son, you got to back up. God looked down and said, you used to praise me even in the storm, but now you have an attitude. He says, son, something is wrong. So God says, because something is wrong, I'm going to allow, watch this church, I'm going to allow correction to come in. It's not necessarily that you're wrong, but I have to get you to understand that there's something wrong. And if there's something bad in your pipe, it needs to come out. So then he says, after correction, I will comfort you and convict you. First conviction, then comfort. He says, I have to allow some things to happen for the progress, in other words, to be fulfilled. Everything worth waiting for and having is worth believing God for. So he tells Peter, upon this rock, watch this church, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Someone say, Jesus himself went through the sanctification process. John, remember the story where Jesus danced for 40 days and 40 nights and he was fasting and the enemy came. He said, if you be the Son of God, do this. If you be the Son of God. See, Jesus never told Peter, John, and him, come on, y'all, we got to go to the desert. He said, I got to depart from you. I went alone. Some would say he was alone in the desert. And I know it feels like you're alone right now in the desert in your situation, but Jesus had to be alone so God could test him and sanctify him. Satan said, if you be the Son of God, throw yourself on the mountain, lest the angels shall catch you. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If you be the Son of God, turn this rock into bread that you may eat. And Jesus said, thou shalt live on the word of God, not bread alone. See, Jesus himself went through the progress of being sanctified. I want you to understand, sanctification doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It simply means that you're letting some stuff go to get closer to God. Come on, somebody. Come on, that's a good word for somebody. Someone say, life is a work in progress. So then after that, he gives me this, created for good. works. How many of y'all know that God didn't create Anita and say, this is all I have for you? You were created to do something. Whether it's preaching, teaching, sharing the gospel, worship, I don't know. But God did not just create you just to be a bump on the log, so to speak. Someone said, I've been created for good works. I've been created to do something for the kingdom of God. Created for good works, here's what it says. Created for good works, and I wrote this down. I didn't write it on the screen. But created for works means, what is your purpose? Someone write this down like you mean it. Write it down on your paper, in your phone. Write, what is my purpose? And why do I exist? What is my purpose? And why do I exist? Was I created just to clean the house? To be someone's slave? No. He's created you for more than that. He's created you to be a witness to him. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria and uttermost. God has created you. But see, the enemy wants to bring everything he can to get you out of your purpose. Someone say, created for good works. What is your purpose? You see, everything, watch this, church. Everything that God has ever created is for a purpose. Why did he create a chair? Oh, that feels good. Why did he create a chair? Why don't you sit on the floor? Someone's kept get up, amen. Why did he create the screen? Why did he create the technology of people watching us online now from other parts of the country? Well, God created all that for good works. Everything that God creates is for a purpose, but we have to understand what is the purpose of what he's creating me to do. He gave me something so powerful that I can't totally release it yet, but I was like, Lord, why are you giving me that? He said, because in the future it's for a purpose. There's a purpose why God is doing something. Instead of figuring out why are you making me do this, don't question him. Just say, God, if it's your purpose, if it's your will, I'm okay. Created for good works. Someone say created for good works. What is your purpose? The word purpose means to do or to be used by. Someone say to do or to be used by. Purpose, okay. This right here has a purpose. It doesn't talk. This doesn't talk. It has no emotion. Can't feel that. If I went like that, we got a problem, amen? But this mic stand has one purpose. And its purpose is to hold that mic. Someone say, God created that mic stand to hold that mic. It's not trying to hold the camera because you can't attach the camera to here because it'd fall off. There's no play. It's never going to do what it's not created to do. My God. Ooh, that's a word for somebody. This is not created to hold that camera. If I tried to take the camera off of that tripod, a tripod means it has something that comes up and attached to the camera, and it's a tripod, which meaning it's more sturdy than this. Because guess what? If we put a camera on here and the camera's heavy, it's going to fall and it's going to mess up the camera. So this cannot be created to hold the camera. Some of us are created to do something, but we're trying to do something that he didn't create us for. This sole purpose of this mic stand is to hold this microphone. Do you understand what I'm saying? This was created, someone say, this was created to do its job. Is it doing its job? If I was up here being a worshiper, hallelujah. No. I don't know how to sing. The mic is only as good as what's singing into it. My God. But watch this. You can't say that this mic stand is not doing its purpose. It's holding the mic. But a lot of us, watch this, a lot of us are trying to use this for something it wasn't created for. A lot of us are trying to do something that we thought God called us to do and wondering why it's not being good or working is because we're not in our purpose or our calling. Come on, somebody. So this mic stand, someone say, this mic stand can't feel, has no emotions, but without it, I'm not going to drop the mic because you're expensive, but the mic would drop on the ground. It's not going to be in the air by itself. So someone say, the mic stand was created for a purpose and is doing its job. The question I have for you is, did God create you for the purpose, and he showed you the purpose, but you're trying to do something you're not? Someone say, created for good works. My second point, why do we exist? Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Look what it says. We're created for good works in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand. Someone say beforehand. And we missed the scripture, that we should walk in them. So beforehand means before you were created. Let me tell you one thing I believe. God does not make mistakes. He knew you was going to be rebellious, Don. He knew you were going to have a mouth on you, Benita. He knew what we're all going to do before we do it. Come on, somebody. But watch this. If he created you to do something, the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you from your calling. Someone say, he's keeping me, trying to keep me from my calling. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. God, someone say God. Like you mean it, say God. With an attitude, say God. God, 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 God. Prepared. Prepared before you were born. Before you were born, God said, I'm going to use that loud mouth, crazy boy to be my preacher one day. And I never thought it was going to happen. Y'all just are so blessed to have me. Amen. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk, here it is, church, that we should walk in them, in one, in our calling. Okay? There are some people that I know, okay, that are good at certain things but horrible at other things. It's everybody, right? Okay? Like, I'm a clean freak. Everybody knows me, I'm a clean freak. Even with five dogs, right? My house is organized and clean, right? Like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but like, I have a routine. When I come home from work, I come through the back, I hang up my keys, I put my bag over my shoulder, my laptop, all my work stuff goes in, then I go into my room. Even before I let the dogs, I go to my room, take off my work clothes, put on shorts and a t-shirt and my socks, my short socks. And before I do that, I have to prepare for the mess that's about to take place, which is letting five dogs out. One at a time. I gotta let everybody out first in the yard as they're safe, and then I let the monster out, which is Sam. Because he has built up aggression. And he's in the kennel all day. And so he just wants to get out and get somebody. So I've learned that if I don't let all the other dogs out first, he's going to pounce on him. Not like attack him, but like just wants to play and be hyper. Then so many other dogs don't like it. So I've learned that I've got to let all four dogs out by themselves. Then a few minutes later, I let Sam out. And I have to actually let Sam calm down before I let him go out back with the other dogs. Because he's got built up aggression because he's in that kennel all day, which I can't help it. I'm not leaving him out during the day because someone will take him from me, you know, like that. He's not going to be outside. So I've learned my routine is to let all the dogs out and then let Sam out. And then once he's calmed down, and I calm down, I said, it's okay, baby, just calm down, calm down. Getting water. And then finally he goes, okay, Dad, I'm ready. Let him out with the other dogs. That's my routine. Because I know beforehand what happens. Come on, somebody. And we have to learn if God is preparing you for something, it's because he's preparing you. Someone say, he's preparing me for what my future holds. Here's what he says. We are, someone say we are, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Someone say, what is them? What is them? Whatever God has for you. I am right now preparing for something that God gave me 2 months down the road. Someone say 2 months. When is the first, Ron? Tuesday. You should know it's the first Tuesday of the month. We go to the Center of Hope. Okay? So how many days are in November? Pull up your calendar. 30 what? Someone pull it up for me. We got all day. Nobody is online watching. I mean, a whole bunch of people. What? 30? How many days are in December? So someone say 61 days from Tuesday, there's a change coming. We'll leave it at that. 61 days from Tuesday, in this ministry, there's a change coming. I can't not walk in the vision that God gave me and wait till that day and all of a sudden, well, we're not prepared. He's preparing me right now. Someone say he's preparing me beforehand of what he's about to do. There's an outpouring coming when we're obedient to him. Come on, somebody. So now I'm preparing for what God showed me 61 days down the road. Y'all gonna get that when you see it revealed. Come on, somebody. Because next year, someone say next year, God gave me a word for the entire year for this church. And I will let this much out to you. The word he gave me for next year, Anna, was atonement. The year of atonement. Which means reconciliation or new beginning. Someone say reconciliation and new beginning. Atonement. Or in other words, the price has been paid. Come on, somebody. Someone say the price has been paid. So I thought to myself, why did he show me all that last week for no reason? God don't show you anything for no reason. He shows you something to walk in what he has for you because he's preparing you before it comes. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He's going to do it. Will you be willing to walk in it? Someone say he's going to do it. Will you walk in it? I'm about to make a decision this week that I spoke with Elder Ron in my office this morning. I'm about to make a decision this week on my job that it looks like I'm losing something, but I'm actually going to gain peace. Come on, somebody. I'm going to give up one of my hospice companies totally. Am I going to lose something? Yeah. But I'm going to gain so much more. And in the process, he's going to be blessed. I don't know how much of a blessing is to him. He'll figure it out later. But anyways, It'll be a financial blessing to him. I hope he can handle it. But me, I'm done. One thing about Pastor Mike, you can only push me so far. And then when I'm done, I'm done. Because God wants us to walk in new beginnings. Watch this. Look at this next scripture that God gave me. Read that, Anna. Let your light so shine before men that they may see you. Don't say it's not about me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify. In other words, let you be the light that's going to lead people to Jesus. I can't say it. You got to wait. I want to say it so bad. Let your light. We have been called to bring people to the light. There's going to be such an outpouring Tuesday. God already gave me a word. Abraham will be back. He confirmed. Brother Abraham will be there Tuesday to do worship. You have got to be there Tuesday. It's going to be an experience like none before. He's back with worship. Next Sunday is First Sunday Fellowship here. He's going to see what his schedule looks like. If he doesn't have to do worship at this other church, he said he would gladly come and do worship for us. Okay? Heater or air conditioner, no air conditioner. Amen? But we have to let our light shine. Watch this, church. So men can see your Father, not you. Someone say, don't make it about you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Someone say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Someone say, I'm a work in progress. Let me share this with you. I'm going to sit down because I want to act like we're like friends. We're a small church. And all of us are going to make mistakes. We have a habit, sometimes, of not understanding where people are. Okay? Elder Vic couldn't come to church this morning because he has an emergency going on with his family. And he called and said, Pastor, sorry, I can't be there. I've got some things going on, whatever, blah, blah. I said, that's fine. We'll pray for you. We're going to pray for Elder Vic. But what I'm saying is, our number one job in this ministry is to let people see him. Come on, somebody. Our number one job in order to bring people in and have them come to church is for them to see Jesus through us. Come on, somebody. Listen to me, not everybody that comes in this church is going to be clean or perfect. It's not our job to judge. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. But we need to learn to accept people where they are. And as mom would say, she said, preach the hell out of them. But when I add this, love the hell out of them. Come on, somebody. All of us. Okay, now watch this. Someone say number three. Read that, Benita. Strive to be like Jesus. Strive to be like, who is Jesus? How is Jesus? Jesus sat amongst prostitutes. Jesus sat amongst drinkers. They were drinking in front of Jesus and carousing. You know what I miss most about Pastor Greer? Is that Pastor Greer would go into somewhere and he would never tell them, brother, you need to put that down, the man of God's in the house. He'd walk in with them. I remember one time we went somewhere, and it was over some friend's house. It was somebody's birthday, one of his nephews or cousin's birthday party, and walk in, and we pulled up, and the guy comes. He goes, oh, man, the reverend's here, the preacher here. And he put, and Pastor Chris was like, y'all ain't going to put that stuff down. You do you. You know that funny laugh you used to do? He said, Pastor Mike, you know why I did that? I said, no, why, brother? He said, because if I come in judging, I'm going to lose them from the beginning. He said, they've already been judged their whole life. My God, my God, my God, my God. They've already been judged for who they are. But what's funny is we will be so quick to judge someone else's sin, but we sin and it's okay because we're a Christian. So someone drinks. You just cursed out somebody. Yeah, but I'm a Christian cursing them out. My Bible tells me not one sin is greater than another. Come on, somebody. I'm just telling you the truth. Come on, can I just be real this morning? Amen? The church needs to be less judgmental. Now, there's a time where you can only take so much from somebody, and if they don't change, you have to get away from that person. I agree with that. I'm dealing with that with my son right now. I'm dealing with it with my son this morning. Come on, somebody. I love him, but now I got to love him from a distance. I got to pray for him. Come on, somebody. But while you're going through some stuff, I'm going to strive to be like Jesus. You don't have to be like Jesus, but I have to be like Jesus. You can either accept who I am in Jesus. And here's what the Bible says. It is well for you to abide in somebody's house. If they receive you, it is well for you to abide with them. If they don't receive you, you shake off the dust and move on. I'm going to share something with you, and you can use this in your own house or your own relationships. Only stay where you're wanted. Yeah, only stay where you're wanted. You ever been in a place where you feel like a third wheel, like you feel uncomfortable? And you know they're talking about you behind your back, but they act like they like you? That's how I feel right now with my company, without mentioning names. I'm a third wheel there now. The third wheel, but they're going to miss this wheel when I'm gone. Trust me, you better be careful what you get rid of, because that thing that you get rid of was the thing that was making you turn. Come on, somebody. See, I know my worth, Elder Ron. I know my worth. The problem with most people, they don't know their worth. See, it's not like I need them, they need me. You have to learn that in your relationship. You have to be the one to understand that they need you just as much as you need them. Come on, somebody. Someone say, strive to be like Jesus. Here's something that's interesting. Watch this. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in what? Christ Jesus. I'm going to say strive to be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, who was also in Christ Jesus, who, here it is, being in the form of God. He wasn't God, but he was in the form of God. The Bible says it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to say one God, three separate works. He says, Jesus Christ, let's go back because I think we need to reiterate this. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yesterday, I made a very hard decision to, I was scheduled to do 10 visits yesterday, so I wouldn't have to double myself up Monday. Now I got 20 visits Monday. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll figure it out. The good news is about six of them are all in the same facility. So basically I really got about 10 travel visits, but the rest are in two different facilities. I'm going to do Arlington first and then work my way out. What I normally do is work my way back, but I want to get the easy visits done first. Anyways, and I had to make a decision, because when I woke up Saturday morning to go do my visits or whatever, I noticed that my house was flooded. Well, I was flooded the night before, but it got worse the next day. Finally, I said, I can't go nowhere. My house is flooded. Toilets were backed up. Washer was back. I'm like, oh, my God. So I had to stay home One plumber came, he couldn't fix it. Then the landlord sent another plumber. They worked on it for a couple of hours, and we thought we had it fixed, and they'd leave, and all of a sudden I washed, and it flooded my house again. Because I thought the plumbing was fixed. They came out, said, well, we're going to have to come back out Monday, so I had to clean it. I cleaned my house like 6 or 7 times yesterday because it flooded like 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. So here's what I decided to do. I decided just it is what it is. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't do my visits. I rescheduled my visits. If I can get everybody seen, good. If not, I have something come up and I'm going to do it. But anyways, I decided, who being the form of God, so God is in control. Come on, somebody. Do not consider it robbery, here it is, to be equal with God. Now watch this. Here's what he says. But made himself what? Of no reputation. What I say earlier, it's not about us. You don't think that Jesus could announce to everybody who he was? Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. You don't think more than one time Jesus could have spoke something to existence and it could have happened? Do you know the reason why we have all the parables in the Bible? Because Jesus was teaching people how to be like God. The widow woman. Lazarus from the tomb. Come on, somebody. The blind man. The man with the withered hand. But he made himself no reputation, taking the form of a what? A servant. And coming in the likeness of men. He didn't announce, I'm here. He didn't. I'm Jesus. Bow down to me. No. He came as a humble servant. And the Bible says, coming in the likeness of men. Quit trying to toot your own horn. Someone said it's a work in progress. We'll never win nobody if we make it about us. We have to meet people at the point of their need. Come on, somebody. Watch this. Here's what he says. But servant, right? And coming in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ was a humble servant, holy and righteous. Someone say holy. And righteous. Someone say holy. And righteous. He was humble to the point that he was not about him. Jesus himself had to go through a progress and a process. Jesus, the night before he was crucified, he was in the garden. The Bible says he was praying so hard as to the point of he was bleeding. He was praying so hard. He said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. He got to a point where he said, I don't want to do it. Someone say, I don't want to do it. But I know it must be done. There's a decision that I have made, that I have prayed. I don't want to do it, church, but it has to be done. Come on, somebody. It doesn't mean, it may look like a bad thing, but it doesn't mean it's the end. Someone say it's only a bend. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Watch this, church. Someone say, coming in the likeness of men. Jesus had to be humbled to the point that he knew what he wanted to do. And also he knew that it had to be done. We all have things that we have to change about ourselves. I want to share this closing thought this morning if I could. If God is still working in you, assume that he's still working on others and learn how to extend grace. If God is still working in you, assume that He is still working in others and learn how to extend His grace. Listen to me, we don't got it all together. A chapter of this ministry is closing. Come on, somebody. Someone say, it's just a chapter. Come on, somebody. Someone say, it's just a chapter. But we still have a whole lot of book to fulfill. A chapter is not the end of the book. Anna. It's the end of that section of the book. My God. You can never get to the next chapter until you finish one. My God, come on. You can never start another, because guess what? Everything that's led up to that next chapter, you've had to learn what happened to get into the next part of that book. Everything in this ministry in my life that has led up to the next chapter of my life was preparing me for what God has for me and this church. I want somebody to give Him a praise. The chapter is not... The book is not over. Someone shout, the book is not over. That chapter. Someone say, I'm a work in progress. Things are going to change. It's going to look different and it's going to feel different. It's still us. It's just a different look. Come on, somebody. Because just maybe, someone say, just maybe. There's some people waiting that God has already handpicked for us. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, sometimes people can't come until it's the right time and the right place. Come on, somebody. My God, someone say, thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for a word in season, God. We thank you that you're molding and shaping and fixing and changing and doing a great work. And we're going to go to the Center of Hope Tuesday, and we're gonna bring the Word, and we're going to bring love, and we're going to let the Holy Ghost move. And we're going to believe, God, for new direction. But God, right now, each of us are a work in progress. For those online this morning, they're struggling with some things. God, I pray blessings over them right now. Stretch your hands towards the camera if you're online. Father, we thank you right now for that person out there. For that person out there that's struggling with their faith, that's struggling with finances, that's struggling with a place to belong right now in the name of Jesus. Wherever you're at right now, we speak life into that situation and we say that it's not dead. It's about to be resurrected. Come on, somebody. It's about to come forth in life. It's about to change. We just got to believe God can. God will. As Elder Ron and Sister Dawn come this morning and close this out, we're going to ask you, if you have a need this morning, allow God to speak to you and allow God to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
For Elder Vic at this time. also pray for the grandbabies.
Two have RSV. The youngest one's 7 months old, and they had to take her to the emergency room for oxygen. And anybody that knows Corey, he takes it to heart, him and Ariana both. So the family really needs to be prayed for. So I'm going to stand in for my grandkids.
We lift them up. We lift them up today, Father. We lift them up, Father. These small children, Father, these small children, Father, Lord, it's a struggle, and parents love their kids so much, their heart. They feel like they can't do enough to help that child to get better, and it's hard on parents when they go through this. So, Father, administer to all those who are waiting on those children, take care of them, the caregivers. Yes, Lord, heal that little body. Just touch them, Father, and the parents. Give them some understanding and peace and comfort. Jesus, 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 yes. Yes, yes, we're going to walk in faith and trust in your word, Father, touch their little bodies. Yes, Lord, and we also want to lift up Anna today. Lord, we want to lift Anna up because Anna has been faithful to this church. And Lord, there's a lot of environment that she's in, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. And she has a blessing she would like to share, and we need to give those testimonies, Father, when they come, because we don't want to be caught up in the struggles within a struggle, but we pray for you to intervene and change that environment and give the families more strength and comfort and peace that only you can provide. So I want we want to lift Ann up and her family, Lord. Yes, yes, like she just said, Lord, no weapon formed against her shall prosper. And she's had to walk with your sword, Father. She's had to walk with it and fight off the demons in the battles at times. But we are so grateful to hear that things are improving, and that she's still got her strong spirit in you, Father, that she's not going to let the devil's lies tear her apart and cause her to have feelings within her own family that are difficult to overcome. She has to control just what she can and lift her others up to you. That's what she has to do, Father. And that's what we all have to do. Because we don't have the wherewithal, Father. We don't. We have to have your guidance, Father. We ask this in your son's name, amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? We also want to lift up my wife and myself. We have a lot of things happening in our environment, and we thank you, Father, for the prayer. It's a powerful tool, and that's the only way we can get out when you have four or five things hit your family. And Pastor knows he has a lot of those every week, but you know what, Lord? We're not stopping. We're not quitting. Like Pastor said, we're going to close one chapter, and we'll move to the next one, and because now we're more prepared for that next part of that journey. And we just want to remind everybody too that Tuesday, as was mentioned, is the outreach at the Center of Hope over in Dallas, and it's a wonderful, wonderful service. Blessings. We lift others up, but we're lifted just as much when we're there. And it'll be at the church if you're able to at about 4:30-ish. We try to get over there 5 to 5:15, and we start at 6 to 7. So it's nice to have helpers and people that can come, and we put up things a little faster. And believe me, you'll walk away blessed. So we thank you. We thank you for being online today with us and being here in person. Guys, we need this. Churches used to be open Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. Now a lot of churches are doing Saturday night services. When the doors were open, people used to be at church. That's what it was. And we need that heavenly spiritual food, that manna that we can't get from the carnal world. We need to fellowship if we're able, at least tune into a word like many do, so they can get their batteries recharged and let them know that, yeah, that wasn't the best week, but you know, sorrow may come in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so we have to keep that at our forefront. that no matter how bad it seems, we'll get through it. This too shall pass. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we close today's service. We ask for all that's watching to have a blessed week and that stay safe and just put God first in all you do. We thank you, Father. We just thank you. There's so many things we forgot to thank you for. We're here just to say thank you for being who you are and what you do for us and your love and your grace and mercies. Again, all those that we lifted up today, Father, touch their families and their lives for healing and strength and comfort. And for the pastor's life as well. He's got decisions in his own household he needs to address, and he will, and with your guidance. Go with us all this week, Father. Bring us back safely. May we walk and be that salt and light of the earth that we're instructed to be as Christians, that people know that we have a little extra spring on our step because we have the belief and the love and the guidance from Almighty God, that they will see that light in us. We thank you, Father, again for the freedom of worship, and be with our country and all the elections and everything come up, that calm heads will come together and the right people will be where they need to be to lead our states and our government. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grandma used to pray out loud by your bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling. Grandma used to pray out loud by your bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling.